One thing I'd like for you to think about as you turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Have you ever wondered how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? I know that if we've done very much schooling at all, at some point someone has walked us through the process, and that process is called metamorphosis. And it's just hard to even comprehend how a butterfly, as beautiful it is, could start as a caterpillar, as ugly as it is. But metamorphosis makes that process possible. And to this day, that process of metamorphosis still baffles many biologists. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's interesting that in direct translation, that word transformed is very similar to the word metamorphosis that describes a caterpillar's transition, transformation into a butterfly. But be transformed, experience metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and his pleasing and his perfect will. Pray with me. Father, I ask you to help me to preach. I ask you to help me to teach. I pray, God, you'll help me to be able to share your word with an anointing, a special grace from heaven, that God, you'll show me where to pierce and you'll show me where to heal. Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen. I found that Romans chapter 12 is a fairly common passage of text to most Christians. Seems like that most modern day believers in some way, shape, form, or fashion have some type of a reference point with this particular text. And so I'd like to read it again just for the sake of emphasis, maybe just because you don't happen to be at that place of awareness with this verse. And it's important today for you to have a context of it. Now, I'm not going to read verse 1. I'm going to read verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will." Now, our emphasis this morning is going to be on the first portion of that verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul was a brilliant theologian. Romans is his masterpiece, if you will. In this particular text, he is presenting a contrast. Do not conform to the pattern of this world versus the renewed mind that a Christian is transformed by. So you can be conformed or you can be transformed. And what Paul is encouraging is that you would not settle for being conformed to the world, but that instead you would be transformed into the plan and the image that God has for you. Now, two words that stick out are the words transformed and the word renewed. Transformed and renewed. It's interesting that the Greek word that is used for the word renew, it combines two words together, if you would, in our language. New and again. So what's saying here is that the type of renewal is what prevents the believer from conforming to his current day. I'm going to say that again. It's a type of renewal that keeps the believer to conforming to his modern day, to the day that he lives in, to the culture that he lives in. And it's new and again. In other words, if you're not going to be conformed to this world, you're going to have to be made new again and again and again and again and again. Probably every time you scroll through Facebook, you're going to need to be made new again. And every time that you cycle through the news, you're going to need to be made new again. And every time you wind up in a conversation with Beulah and Freddie, you're going to need to be made new again. And every time that one person catches you at the end of the frozen foods aisle, you're going to need to be made new again. I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning, but I'm trying to help somebody become new again, to be renewed. And it's going to be something that's going to need to happen in your life over and over again in your mind, to be made new again. Otherwise, you're just going to increasingly become like the world, whether you intended to or not. The second word we talked about bringing emphasis to is transform. And I've already pointed out that has a context of metamorphosis. It has a context of you start out as a caterpillar, but you end up as a butterfly. It's something that is experiencing change. In fact, maybe the purest translation of this is simply changing form. It's also interesting that Jesus used a very similar Greek word in one of his messages, and he was using it to describe repentance. That in other words, we're going to be made new again and again and again and again. And the result of being made new again and again and again is we're going to look less like the world and more like God. We're going to change form, that we may come into this thing one way, but we're going to end up a very different way. And what might have originally been a negative through the hand of God is going to ultimately become a positive. In fact, this word transformed, it implies that you would experience change in your appearance, change in your character, change in your condition, change in your function. Change. Change. I want you to just look over at somebody and tell them, be made new again. Now tell them, and again. And they're going to get on Facebook as soon as they get out of here, so tell them again. And in fact, some of you on Church Online, you've already needed it three times just because of something you saw over there in the side window you shouldn't have had open anyway. Just tell somebody, be made new again. Believers are constantly tempted to let the things of the world shape their minds rather than the things of God. The translator of the Message translation, he makes this statement in reference to Romans chapter 12. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. That's what you might describe peer pressure as. It's why so many young men have so much trouble in the locker room. It is because they get into a situation where that there is pressure put on them to look like and act like everyone else. And what's happening is that whether they even realize it or not, they're not in a battle against flesh and blood, just against some random personality. They're in a spiritual battle that's trying to squeeze them in to being conformed to a world that feels like pornography's okay, to being conformed into a world that is completely confused in regards to its sexuality. To be conformed, to be squeezed in. It's the reason that so many young women might struggle in regards to their purity, because at some point there's going to be a pressure that's going to try to squeeze them in to what the world says they should look like and who they should be, instead of what God says they should look like and who they should be. God wants to make you new again and again. And again, I came to tell somebody, if you've been making the wrong decisions in the locker room, you can be made new again. And I came to tell somebody, if you've been struggling in your purity, you can be made new again. And I came to tell somebody, if you've been cheating on your taxes, you can be made, okay. See, some of y'all were loving it when I was hitting on your teenagers. And then I came into your office and you didn't care so much about it. But just tell somebody, be made new again. One reviewer of this text, he says that really what God is asking for is that we would give ourselves wholly, wholly, that we would give ourselves wholly, incomplete, to God, to be made new again and again and again. Kevin Gerald, well-recognized pastor in the Western United States, he wrote a book called Mind Monsters, and in it, he made some really solid points. One of the things that he points out is that there are three things that worldly thoughts do. So in other words, when the world is trying to squeeze you into its way of thinking, when it's trying to conform you to the way that the world wants you to think, it will steal your joy and your peace. You ever noticed how often when you start thinking like the world that you lose your joy and you lose your peace? That the world, it will disrupt your relationships and it will steal your contentment. It's three worthwhile points that the enemy wants to steal your joy and your peace. He wants to disrupt your relationships and he wants to steal your contentment. And ways in which that the enemy does that is to try to get you squeezed into the world's way of thinking. And one of the things that Gerald points out is that the way it happens is the enemy puts us on the wrong train. He talks about the fact that there are trains of thought. And you guys know what that's like. You start thinking about something, and before long, you have ridden that train way, way down the road in your thought process. Trains of thought. He talks about how that the enemy has a way of, in the most subtle of ways, to get us to board the train of thought called worry. And you're just sitting there, and then all of a sudden there's just this thought, and it came into your mind of, man, I wonder if my child is okay right now. And then the next thing you know, you are envisioning all kinds of crazy things that could possibly happen to your child because you rode that train of thought. It can happen with guilt, that we get on that train and we start reflecting on a mistake that we made at some point in our life. And all of a sudden, as we're riding through that train, we start to see the scenery of shame. And we start to feel as though we would never be able to get off of this train because surely everyone else is seeing the same scenery associated with our life. And we just keep riding and riding and riding guilt. Others of us, we really struggle with boarding the train of thought associated with insecurity, and we don't even realize it. Like, if you struggle with pride, you are struggling with insecurity. If you struggle with anxiety, you are struggling with insecurity. So what happens is the enemy gets us on this train, and we start stepping into these mindsets of entitlement that are directly connected to the insecurity. And before we know it, we can spend extended minutes, if not extended hours, riding the train. And the problem with these kind of trains is that we don't even know where their destination ends. We just know it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to be bad when that thing finally pulls into the station. You ride that train long enough and you'll end up transferring to suicidal thoughts. But you'll probably make a transfer to depression before you. Am I making sense to anybody? So you got to be careful which train you get on in your mind, because the enemy fully intends to bring you to the wrong destination with your life. You know, one of the things that research of the brain has proven is that human beings are naturally disposed to process, understand, and learn from negativity rather than positivity. It's partly because our literal survival depends on it. But even when you think about a child, the way that a child, an infant even, begins to learn, think about it. A toddler learns that the stove is hot from a negative experience of touching a painfully hot surface. That's the way that we learn. We had a negative experience, and now we learn, okay, if my fingertips are going to survive, I'm not going to want to touch that thing again. One researcher said it this way, that your brain is like Velcro for the negative stuff. And it's like Teflon for the positive ones. For those of you that don't cook, somebody help me for just a minute. We get it. Velcro's sticky. Sometimes you just feel like you got to make it really plain. Teflon is that non-stick skillet that's in your cabinet that it allows you to burn the stuff and live to tell about it, because it's just going to scrape right off. Nothing sticks to it. And in our life, it's like our mind too often is like Velcro to all the negative stuff. Just like everything's sticking to it. And it's like you can't even hardly tear it off. But then all the positive stuff, it's like we can't even remember what somebody said to us in a positive light, because all we're thinking about is the negative. 10 people say something positive, one person say something negative, and we'll go home and wallow all day in the train of worry and guilt and insecurity because of what's stuck. You know, so I was thinking about it, if we're riding the wrong train, how do we get on the right train? Like, how do we be transformed from that old ugly caterpillar into a destination that makes us more resemble that beautiful spiritual butterfly, if you will? And there's the concept of the faith express. The faith express. Tell somebody, you got to get on the right train. It'd be something great to throw in the comments right now. You got to get on the right train. So if you're going to get on the right train, if you're going to ride the faith express, one of the first things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn to focus on the positive. Because what's going to happen? All that negative stuff is going to stick to you like Velcro. So you're going to have to be intentional about saying, okay, I'm going to focus on the positive. There's something I want to point out to you. Like, in fact, I want to circle back in order to do it. I think this point's worth making. If we're talking about that the negative sticks like Velcro and the positive it comes off of us like Teflon, y'all with me? Then think about for a second how hard it is to think about the right thing. Because we are so predisposed to the negative and to the worldly way of thinking. That one researcher put it this way. He said, if you were to try and just think about, to not think about a polar bear, okay? Everybody in here, everybody in church online, do not think about a polar bear. Like, I'm telling you, do not think about a white bear. Do not think about a big polar bear in the zoo. And you're like, well, if you quit talking about it, I quit thinking about it. Well, the truth of it is you wouldn't. Because when you try not to think about something, you're almost guaranteed to think about it at least once a minute. Because while one side of your brain is making the decision, I'm not going to think about that, the other side of your brain is checking in to make sure you're not thinking about it. And the moment that that side of your brain tries to check in and say, make sure you're not thinking about that, it makes you think about it. And so it's really almost impossible to not think about these forbidden things. So what you have to do is you have to learn to replace the thought. So instead of just saying, I'm not gonna think about it, I'm not gonna think about it, I'm not gonna think about it, I'm not gonna think about what they said about me. I'm not gonna think about all the stress I'm going through at work. I am not gonna think about these kids that are driving me crazy. I'm not gonna think about the fact that I'm 3 weeks late on my refrigerator bill. It doesn't work. That's why Paul told you what will work. He didn't tell you to not think about the negative stuff and the worldly stuff. He told you to think about the positive stuff and the godly stuff. And he said it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, help me. Think about such things. Like, you gotta learn to think about the right things. In other words, you gotta get on the right kind of train. You gotta get on the faith express. You gotta focus on the positive. That's what Paul was saying. Think about whatever is true. Think about whatever is noble. Think about whatever is right. Think about whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. That's what you gotta think about. The world is gonna constantly invade your mind and invade your life with all the things that are going wrong and all the negative stuff, and you will never be able to not think about it. So you gotta get your mind on the right way of thinking and be new again and again and again. And every time you think about something true, it's making you new again. And every time you think about something that's right, it's making you new again. And every time you think about something that's pure, it's making you new again and again. And again, focus on the positive. I love, it's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I'm sure you guys love it as well. It's 2 Corinthians 4:8. Paul talked about the fact, he said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. In other words, I could focus on the fact that they're pressing us. They're trying to squeeze us in. trying to conform us, but we're not crushed. I can focus on the facts that we have a lot of reason to be perplexed, but instead, I'm just going to tell you, we're not in despair. I get it. It's the first mistake I've made all morning. Considering my hillbilly vernacular, it's a miracle that even anything past four syllables comes out right. Struck down, but not destroyed. So instead of focusing on I'm struck down, Paul said, I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to focus on the fact that my God has not allowed me to be destroyed. He give you something. That's a great place to praise God. He give you something good to think about. If you'll just keep loving God and keep obeying his purpose and calling in your life, he's promised in Romans 8:28 that everything will work to your good. If you can't praise God for anything else, and you praise him for the fact he called you, and you keep loving him, and in due time, he'll see to it that even the bad works for your good. The faith expressed, focus on the positive. Here's another way to make sure you get your ticket on the faith express. Affirm others. Affirm others. Some might would say here that you should affirm yourself. And I don't necessarily know that there's anything overly wrong with that, but I think it's even more beneficial to affirm others. I heard the story of a lady who was swimming, and she loved to swim, and it was a form of her exercise. And so every morning she would go out for her swim, and there would be other swimmers that would come to do the same. And she noticed that day after day, she started to enjoy her swim less. And the reason was because she started comparing herself to the people that were swimming to the left and to the right. And she started to become discontent with her performance because she wasn't as good of a swimmer. And so she started to get really negative about the morning swim to the point she was almost ready to quit because she was so bothered by how much better these other swimmers were. And then after a time of prayer, one of the things that she felt like the Lord led her to do is that in the morning when they would be arriving and getting ready to get into the water, she just started walking around and just started looking at people and telling them, I just hope you have a great swim today. And I hope you have a wonderful swim today. And I hope you really enjoy your swim today. And I hope that you beat your personal record today with your swim. And she started talking about how that it just took all of the pressure to compete off, and it took away all of the discontentment, and she was just able to once again enjoy that thing that she loved. Some of us cannot enjoy the house we live in because we can't stand it when the neighbor puts in some new landscape and redoes his gutter or finally gets the shingles he's needed for 25 years. And maybe you just ought to send a confirming text and an affirming text and let them know God bless you, so proud of you, and do it in a, I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning. But if you knew what they said to me, you knew what they did to me. Bless those that despitefully use you, and it will heap coals of fire upon their head. Affirm others. Here's another way to get your ticket on the faith express. Imagine God doing something good in your situation. And that's not just some self-help nonsense. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, that God desires to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or think according to the power that he's deposited on the inside of you. And it does not mean that something will not go bad. In fact, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. But I'll promise you this, God will take that thing that the enemy meant for evil and he'll use it for your good. So in spite of everything that's happening around you, just start imagining, my God is going to use this for good in my situation. Another way to punch your ticket on the Faith Express is to trust God in all things. Trust God in all things. David walked up to a giant and he let that giant know that you're bigger than me and you got a lot going for you. But he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. There's no giant that will ever face you down that you will not be able to trust God in. You can stand and stare cancer down and begin to trust God. You can stand and stare poverty down and trust God. I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning, but I feel like somebody just needs a reminder to trust God in all things, when they're backbiting and they're saying all manner of evil against you, trust God in all things. Isaiah 26:13 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Pastor Roy Ellis preached at a couple of locations last week, and one of the things that he said, the Bible tells us that God will give us the mind of Christ. But the Bible also tells us that we must put on the mind of Christ. So it's not enough to just say, I have the mind of Christ. You have to make a decision to put on the mind of Christ and make your mind new again and again and again. It's a decision that you have to make. If I'm going to think the way God wants me to think instead of the way that the world wants me to think. One more ticket to the Faith Express. Hope for the best. Hope for the best. One of the most pivotal moments I've ever had in pastoral ministry. I got a phone call to go to a hospital for a tragic event. Young girl, teenage girl, had a car accident. And I knew it was going to be bad. And if I'm not mistaken, we took at least two pastors with us because this was a really, really bad deal. And we'd known the family for years. They had attended the church since it was very small in nature. And I walked in, and I was not prepared for what I saw. This girl, to this day, up until then and from then forward, I've never seen that many tubes in somebody's body. And we arrived, and the mother was in the room by herself, and she was crying profusely, weeping uncontrollably. We began to pray with her. About halfway through that prayer, I stopped. And I said, I feel a strong unction from the Holy Spirit to tell you this. There is no such thing as false hope when God is involved. And then she began to weep in a different way. And she said, the reason I was crying when you all came in is because right before you arrived, I was trying to speak positive in front of a doctor. And he told me, ma'am, all you have is false hope. Today, that girl not only rose up out of that sick bed and graduated high school, but graduated college and is now fully employed and serving God with her life. And I came to tell somebody, there is no such thing as false hope when God is involved. Hope for the best. So you can keep riding the wrong trains. You can keep settling for being squeezed into the world's way of thinking. Or you can decide to get on the Faith Express. I preach this at my house in a different tone and way all the time. Telling my kids, do not settle for being conformed to the world. You are called of God to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And some days they listen and some days they don't. But I'm going to keep preaching it. Because if I don't get to be anything else in my life, I want to be a conductor for the Faith Express. It's helping people get on board and realize you don't have to settle for the world's perspective. God's got something better for you. Imagine the destinations that he's going to take you to. And I'm not just talking about to make you famous or to make you rich. I'm talking about to bring glory to his own name as he uses you and your influence to plunder hell and to populate heaven in Jesus. Would somebody give God praise somewhere. The Faith Express. Choo-choo. Every head bowed, every eye closed. They're going to play some music softly. Come on, whether you're in church online or you're in this auditorium, I want you just to give God a minute. You know what? Some of you need to understand that the greatest new again moment you will ever experience is that initial moment in relationship with God. In Christianity, we refer to it as the born again experience. It's the moment when we come to the realization that Scripture has a promise for us, that we can escape our sin, we can escape the eternal death and damnation associated with sin if we will simply acknowledge the goodness of God's grace in our life and believe that God so loved the world that he would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And today, if you need to be made new, if you need that first fresh start in God, I want to present you with an opportunity to put a hand in the air, not so a preacher can see it or a church can count it, nearly as much as so that you can communicate to heaven, I need grace. I need the touch of Jesus. I need what only the blood of Jesus can make possible. Right now, I want you to begin to pray in your own way. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart and leading you, then right now, just begin to confess your sins to the Lord. Pour them out. Don't hold anything back. Confess all the places you've been conformed to the world. Confess all the places you've been thinking like the world, acting like the world, and believing like the world. Come on, even in church online, I would challenge you even just to say it out loud. You don't have to scream it. You don't got to yell it, but just confess to the Lord. As you're having this moment of surrender before the Lord, I want you to understand that he will reach further down than you can reach up. He's the engineer of this train. And he's got heaven planned for you. But it starts with a salvation experience. I want you to continue to pray in your own way, but I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Father, we are so thankful for your cross. We are so thankful that you would love us so much that you would give your Son. And that God, through faith, we would be able to see our sins propitiated from us onto him. That God, everything that was due us, he received and he took on our behalf. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you allow us to escape wrath. Thank you that you give us the promise of amazing grace. And God, I pray that coming out of this moment that there's going to be a recognition that we are not just called to conversion, but we are called to become a disciple. And so, Father God, may we take the steps to become a true disciple of you, to know your word, and to know your word in such a way that we take captive every thought of the world and drag it off and make it obedient to you, Christ. God, may we receive the mind of Christ, and may we be intentional about putting it on to be made new again and again and again. God, give us the courage to confess this decision to somebody before this day is out. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen and amen. I'm going to ask you all across this room to stand with me to your feet. And wherever you're at, church online, in person, I want you right now to put your hands together. And I want you to bless God for the fact that somebody, by the grace of Jesus Christ, just passed from death to life. Come on, bless God for the fact that he'll save, that he'll reach further down than we can reach up. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father.